Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all. We're turning, please, to Luke's Gospel, and we're again in chapter 15, and I'm going to read just one verse to you. It's the verse we'll be particularly looking at today. It's the verse 13 of Luke chapter 15. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now we have already begun our study of this wonderful parable. It's a parable that has won the hearts of multitudes of people. It's probably known throughout the world to a greater degree than possibly any other part of God's word, because it so pictures that which is common, and is not a father or a mother, but has had some experience of this spirit that is at work in the prodigal son, and much sorrow has been brought to many a home by the actions of a son or a daughter that pictures or parallels that which is told us here in this parable. We looked at the son's discontentment. We mentioned that he wasn't discontent when he was a little boy, quite happy, running about the farm. But when he matured, that's when the problems began. And the discontentment gave way eventually to departure, and we're looking at that particular subject. We began, last time I was with you, looking at the son's departure, and we got one point presented to you, and now we come to, well, I hope that we'll get through all of the points today. I want us to begin by thinking about the fact that when the son departed, he was venturing out into the unknown. Now, he didn't for a moment think that was the case. In his mind, he had it all planned out, what he was going to do, likely where he was going to go. But nevertheless, it was into the unknown. How limited, boys and girls, how limited is our knowledge? Already quoted in prayer is that scripture in James chapter 4 and the verse 14. We know not what a day will bring forth, and neither we do. Though man never thinks of this, man assumes that the plans and hopes that he has laid down are so infallible, they'll come to pass. They'll actually happen. What I determine to do, that's what will happen. That's what man thinks. You know, only God can think like that. Only God can think like that. But man would put himself in God's place. As it was, the prodigal didn't know what lay beyond the horizon, what lay over the horizon. And it's the same blindness that we see at work every day in the life of the boozer, the drug taker. They all engage in these activities, blinding themselves to that which is evidently the outcome of their activities. You only have to look around them. The alcoholic has any amount of evidence of what's going to be the end of his activities. Or the drug taker. It's all there before their eyes. The dreadful outcome. But they think it'll not be like that with me. I'm going to see to it that the outcome in my life is going to be different. You think the prodigal planned to lose everything? To become virtually a slave? To almost die of starvation? Do you think he planned that? No, he didn't. But whatever it was he planned, he couldn't execute. He couldn't bring it about. Oh, please, boys and girls, learn that. Learn that. We must appeal. We must appeal unto God that he might bring about in our lives that which is good and that which is profitable. Now I say that, as is stated in James chapter 4, we know not what will be on the morrow. And that's true, we don't know what will be on the morrow. But there is a difference between the unsaved and the saved. The unsaved doesn't know what is going to take place tomorrow, except if he were but to admit it. What will take place tomorrow will be to my hurt. The path that I have set my foot upon can only produce that which is to my hurt. That much he can know. On the other hand, the child of God, while he doesn't know what will happen tomorrow knows this, that what will happen tomorrow will be for my good. Will be for my good. That's the comfort that the child of God has. I'm going to read a few verses to you, none of which I'm sure will come as a surprise. Romans 8 and the verse 28. Here's a verse that comes up so often in the lives and experience of God's people and is a prop, if I might use such a poor term to describe the word of God here. But it has proved to be such a help to God's people in the troubles of life. For we know, now underline that, we're talking about what we know and what we don't know. We don't know exactly what might happen today, never mind tomorrow. But here's something we do know, that whatever happens, it will work out for our good. Do you hear me? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not everybody, just some. Just some. And the Christian can be sure that things will work out well. That is such a comfort. Listen, you young folk, if you're saved, while there is this question mark over tomorrow as to what it may bring, you can be sure whatever it brings will work out to my good. Might not look like that. It might not at the beginning feel like that, any more than, say, the troubles of Job felt while he was experiencing them, that this is for my good. But it turned out that it was. And the child of God can know this for sure. Know this for sure. We go about, Christian, carrying with us this knowledge. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the chapter 5, and the verse 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and the verse 1. And again, Paul is writing, and he uses the word know again, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now death is not something that is pleasant, even though for the child of God death will mean heaven. Nevertheless, it's an enemy. The last enemy is death. And therefore, we sort of tremble at the approach of death. And when we see the activities of death around us, in families that we know, we are a little frightened. But through it all, we have this knowledge. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and it's wonderful here how Paul is giving us information about death in such a manner as to remove excess fear and dread of death. He tells us what death is. Look, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's what death is. Let me put it in terms that are a little more clear. If the tent in which we live was taken down, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. You and I live in a tent. When you go on your holidays and you possibly go camping, though I never could understand anybody wanting to go tenting in this country, but there are those, and I'm sure they have a very pleasant time, but you don't set up home in a tent. It's a temporary arrangement. You come home from your holidays when you were away camping. You come home to your permanent house. A tent is a temporary home. And our bodies is a temporary home. And one day it's going to be taken down. That's what death is. It's a taking down in order that we might go home as Christians. So, I'm back again to what I was saying. We know not what a day will bring forth, but whatever it brings forth, we know. It will be for our good. It will be for our good. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 9. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, Whatever happens tomorrow, one thing we are sure of as Christians, tomorrow will not have an appointment with wrath for us, because God has made for us an appointment that we might obtain salvation, everlasting salvation, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the Old Testament we have, again, I'm sure a well-known statement, Psalm 37, the verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You see what I mean? The prodigal headed off from his father's house, and though he felt he knew what was planned, he knew what he was going to have and enjoy, he didn't really. It's just foolish, sinful man thinks he knows that because he has planned good things for himself, it'll come to pass. But the child of God does know, because God in his mercy has saved me, he has ordered my steps. He has set out the path for me that is for my good. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. The sheep that belong to a good shepherd undoubtedly don't know what a day will bring forth. But if they were able to reason, this they could say, I know it'll be well with me today, because my shepherd will see to it. He'll lead me by the green pastures and the still waters, and I'll lie down and I'll be in comfort and safety. If a sheep could reason, that's what it would do. That's the conclusions it could rightly draw. Well, those who are the sheep of the Lord, they ought to be able to reason. Those who are led by the Lord and belong to the Lord, although we do not know exactly what will happen today, this we do know, that whatever happens today, it's for my good. This is the heritage of the people of God. I tell you, what a treasure this is, young ones. What a treasure this is. Here's reason for you to spend the rest of the day shouting and rejoicing that all is well with my soul, for I'm in the hands of God. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 17 and verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. It's holding on to us, that we don't slip. This is the portion of the child of God, of which portion the poor sinner has no part. No part at all. The prodigal headed off. He was skipping down the road, I've no doubt about that, saying, at last, I've got away from this place. What a time I'm going to have! But he couldn't have been more wrong. And out there, that's the feeling among the multitudes that inhabit this earth. I have plans made for today. Oh boy, am I going to have a good time! But they couldn't be more wrong. They couldn't be more wrong. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, the prodigal headed out into the unknown, not realizing that that's where he was going. It is to be noted that he had no intention of returning. This was no temporary venture. It says in the verse 13, he gathered together all that he had. Gathered together everything. Didn't leave anything at home, because he had no intentions of ever coming back again. And he didn't want to leave anything behind that he might have to come back to collect. Took all that he had. Man wants no part of God. Wants no part of God's house. He wants to cut himself off entirely. He's just determined to have nothing to do with God. In this gathering here, I would be very surprised if there wasn't at this very moment a mind that is exactly the same as the prodigal. You're trying to gather together everything, your thoughts, everything, and separate yourself from what it is I'm saying, from what the Bible is setting before you. You don't want any part of that, and so you resist, seek to withdraw. As a preacher, I've spent my life watching it happen before my eyes. I've seen people, very obviously, seeking to get away from what it was I was saying. Now they couldn't get up and go, although that has happened. But the most of them didn't want to draw attention to themselves, so they couldn't get up and just leave the meeting. So they move their minds, their thoughts, and their heart away from what is being said. They occupy themselves with something else. Is that what's happening to you today? You seeking to distract yourself? That's the spirit of the prodigal, gathering together everything. Psalm 81, verse 11 says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." Just think of that. Israel wanted no part with God at this particular stage that the psalmist is referring to. Jeremiah in chapter 2 said this, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods?" The prodigal was leaving a home to go to that which was no home, as he discovered. He went to a place where he lived below the level of pigs. Are you catching what it is that Jeremiah is saying here? And of course, he's uttering the words of God. "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and then hewed them out cisterns," or wells, "broken cisterns that can hold no water." That's what man does. That's illustrated for us in the story of the prodigal. One last thing. You'll see that he puts as much distance between himself and his father as he can, this prodigal. Told you before, take note of every word in the Bible. Every word. Because every word is there, having been put there by God. I've often used your illustration that when you're writing a composition, you pad it out, don't you? Of course you do. Especially the boys. Especially the boys. You say a thing one way, then you say the same thing, just slightly different, and then you say the same thing yet again, with a little difference. And you look down and you see, "Oh, I've filled two lines, that's great." And I remember when I was doing this, you would write good big writing so that you filled up as much as you could. That's what we do. We pad out. God never says anything that doesn't need to be said. Therefore, everything that he does say, we need to take note of it. There's not one word, no matter how small it is, in the Bible that is, to use a big word, superfluous, unnecessary. Look at what it says. Verse 13, "And not many days after." He stayed a few days, you see, for appearance's sake. He'd just been given a lot of money by his father. He had to give the appearance of appreciation, so he stayed a few days. But then he took off. He took his journey into a far country. He didn't go to the next town. He went to a far country. As far away as he could get. That's how it is with man. He wanted to be out of sight of his father's house. He wanted to get to where he would never hear of anybody talking about his father or the activities of the old home. He wanted to get away to a place where there was nothing to remind him of home. That's how it is with man. I remember that spirit working in me. I remember going home in the evenings from Ulster Television. I had lost my driving license through stupidity, and I had to travel by bus. And I used to catch the bus and head up towards my home. We lived in East Belfast. I lived with my parents. And the bus used to cross the Albert Bridge. And in those days when you crossed the Albert Bridge, you could look out and you could see a church, congregational church. And that congregational church had a big, big lit up sign down the side of it that said, "Jesus saith you must be born again." Boys and girls, I used to buy a Belfast Telegraph on my way home every night. Not to read it, for I wouldn't really been that interested in anything was in it. But when I was getting near to the congregational church, I'd get the Telegraph open, trying to block out that sign. Of course I knew it was there. Couldn't block it out from my mind. The Belfast Telegraph is a wonderful newspaper at blocking out the truth. But it couldn't block out from my mind what I knew was on that wall. That's what the prodigal was doing. He was wanting to get as far away as he could so that nothing would remind him of home. Oh, boys and girls, watch out for that. Watch out for that which would try to get you to put God and everything that is of God behind you. But rather may the Lord work in your heart so as to open your eyes and never seek to keep your eyes upon him. The wee hymn says, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. May the Lord cause the world and its affairs and its follies, its shams, to fade away from us, and may we only have eyes for that which is eternal, the things of God. Let's bow in prayer. Bless today your word to the hearts of the boys and girls. To all of our hearts, Lord, bless it to me as well, I pray, and help us to live this day learning the lesson presented to us here in the Scriptures. Remember all that goes on in the school. We think of the exam in this moment. Give that freedom of thought and that efficiency of mind that will enable the candidates to answer to the glory of God. Bless all that concerns us. Be with us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.